brought to you by GMSDC Radio and broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Let's Talk Small Business with your host, Stacy Key.
Good morning and welcome to this edition of Let's Talk Small Business, the show that talks about all the issues that impact entrepreneurs and small business. We're glad that you're joining us this week for this edition. We're continuing a series that we started on the film and entertainment industry in the great state of Georgia. And I'm joined again this week by my co-host, Mr. Cassius Butts, the regional administrator for Region 4 of SBA.
Good morning.
Cassius, thank you for joining me.
I'm glad to be here again with you, Stacy. Good morning.
You know what? We're going to continue this dialogue on this film and entertainment industry. And I tell you, there's a lot been going on in Georgia.
A whole lot. And great timing, too.
I know last week the Bronze Lens Festival was going on, and I had an opportunity to participate. I will tell you, kudos to Kathleen Burchan and to Roger Bob for all their efforts. It was incredible. This thing has grown. I believe this is their fifth year. And they did a phenomenal job. And we're going to be talking about that more with our guest today. But again, tune in every Tuesday at 11:30, Business Radio X. Let's talk small business. The engine that drives the American economy, it's small business. You don't want to miss it. Please join in and join us. And so today we've got, well, the CEO, the top dog, the man from Liquid Soul, Mr. Terrell Whitley. He is Mr. Film and Entertainment. He knows all there is to know about what's going on in Georgia. And he's going to be joining us to talk about the ins and outs of this business. Mr. Whitley.
Absolutely. I'm so pleased to be here. Thank you, Stacy, for the invitation. Cassius, it's always a pleasure to be with you guys. And for the GMSDC, I think this is wonderful that we're able to have this conversation today.
And I'm glad. Well, you know, Liquid Soul is part of our family, so we're excited that you're here as well. So talk to me a little bit, first of all, about Liquid Soul. We want to talk about the Bronze Lens Festival last week. Again, I was so impressed.
Fantastic. I'm glad you're able to come out. Let me take a second, talk about Liquid Soul,
yes,
and then we could jump right into the conversation. Liquid Soul is a full-service agency. We are a lifestyle marketing agency. We coin ourselves the future of multicultural marketing. We've been around for 14 years. Most folks know us in the areas of film and television, specifically entertainment and sports is a vertical for us, where we've done marketing now for 24 number one box office films.
Oh, wow. Excellent.
So, absolutely. So if you saw Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, if you saw Captain America, The Winter Soldier, or Guardians of the Galaxy, all of those were films that we put out this year. Those are all number one films this year. We've worked heavily with a lot of our targeted films. So whether it's the Stump the Yards, the Think Like a Man's Gospels, Baggage Claim with David Talbert. Of course, I'm very good friends with Will Packer and Rob Hardy, who are filmmakers and directors here in the city. And then we've worked with Tyler Perry in a lot of his properties as well. Outside
Excellent.
Of that, there's television, a number of different TV shows and cable networks. And then sports is another growing area for us and an area of great opportunity and participation, which Liquid Soul is fond of our abilities, but also our interest in being involved. So we've been working with the 100 Black Men in the Atlanta Football Classic, which recently happened here at the Georgia Dome.
Yep.
Fantastic showing. We also manage the MEAC/SWAC Challenge, which is in Orlando, Florida. And then outside of entertainment and sports, we deal with corporate clients like Walmart, General Mills. Recently began an engagement here with Chick-fil-A.
And oh,
then,
wow. Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned to Cassius, we are uprooting a government division. That, for me, is really critical and important. There are a lot of things coming forth, like the 2020 census, and we just want to make sure that we play a part.
Excellent. You've got your hands full.
Always. Always. I run at 100 miles an hour, and I tell folks, keep up, or you might want to get out of this train. This train moves quick.
Excellent, excellent. So trying to transition that into the Bronze Lens Festival last week.
Absolutely. So Bronze Lens, I've been on the board for a number of years, really since the inception, since Kathleen Burchan came to my office.
Now, Kathleen is awesome.
Yes, she is
awesome.
Fabulous. Great spirit. Her and Deidre McDonald came by and actually talked to me about the vision of Bronze Lens. Mm-hmm. And from that moment, I fell in love with the vision. I fell in love with them. I think that we had kindred hearts and minds and effort around how do we make this come apart, come together.
Could you just, for some of our listeners, let them know what the Bronze Lens Festival is truly about?
Sure, yeah, sure. Yeah. Bronze Lens Film Festival is a celebration of the cultural aspects tied to film, short film, film as well as long film and documentaries. It looks at it from an international perspective.
Okay.
So we look at international films, we highlight women, and then we highlight people of color.
Okay.
I think the unique aspects is that, you know, there's a couple great opportunities. Not only do we provide awards, and it's part of the film festival awards, kind of that arena, mm-hmm. but there's also the Women Superstar Luncheon, where they highlight the energy.
And there were superstars in the room as well.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, in partnership with the Latino community, we make sure that we reach out and bring forth Latino films. So I think that the cultural element here is how do we stretch across all the different lanes and say, hey, this is a welcoming party, a welcoming opportunity for film and television, as well as short film to show its part. So you have companies like BET, HBO. This year we brought VH1 with Drumline. You have some great films that came out, but then also just some great participation. Roger Bob, of course, is a staple, and a host of other folks that came out, participated this year to make the festival something really great.
So, Terrell, many of those films, of course, you're a resident right here in Georgia, and many of the films were actually produced here in Georgia, is that right?
Absolutely, quite a few, and it gives Georgia a great platform.
Okay.
Most folks don't know, and
we're number three right now.
We are,
so we're right behind New York and Hollywood. So
absolutely.
This is Hollywood of the South.
It is, and more studios are coming up. If folks were reading and paying attention, there was announced this morning around Shannon Mall, which is being torn down for a new studio, the Atlanta Metro Studios.
Wow.
So there's more and more production taking place here right in our backyard. And this, and Bronze Lens gives a platform for filmmakers to basically get their film shown.
Okay.
And really get, I think, the word out there that we're doing some major things here in Atlanta.
Now, as I mentioned to our listeners, this is a second part of a two-part series. We had LaRonda from the city of Atlanta, and mm-hmm. we had Lee from the governor's office for the state of Georgia, actually from the state of Georgia. Mm-hmm. They talked about there's 12 new studios that have launched here in Georgia. So talk a little bit about that, because, you know, many of our listeners, as we talk about, we're focused on small business. 12 studios new in Georgia, that says opportunity for us.
Absolutely. And it's big opportunity. This is a major industry. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I want to make folks understand. This isn't just a project here, a project there, or a film or a television show. This is staples of an industry that's taking place right here in our backyard. You have full networks that are moving a lot of productions here. VH1 and Viacom, BET mm-hmm. is in our backyard constantly. You have Universal Pictures shooting films here in Georgia. Lionsgate, Hunger Games. So there are major, major productions. Now, the great thing is it creates tremendous opportunity, especially for the small business owner.
Sure.
There are lanes of opportunity in every facet. Whether you are an electrician, you run a small business that deals in construction, if you do food services or craft services, if you are involved in the legal or accounting, each production is literally like a mini company.
And it's almost like what you just said. It's like so many small businesses make up really just the film itself.
Yes.
I mean, and you just talked about that, Terrell. But think about, those are many entrepreneurs and people mm-hmm. who have a talent that can really kind of realize their dreams when they're sitting down enjoying and watching the film themselves.
And the kicker here is knowing the opportunity exists.
Okay.
That's the area
Talk about that.
Yeah. So I think being tied in with the state and the city and knowing what's on the forefront.
Okay.
And there is a pipeline. Understanding the pipeline of film and television that's coming to the city, and then preparing yourself by getting on some of these productions, trying to do a little work. Sometimes you got to come in at a lower rate to get the experience.
Mm-hmm.
They are looking for experienced individuals. That is a kicker here. A big thing is having the experience on set, knowing what on set really means and how your business can get integrated. But then furthermore, you know, when you connect with the city and the state, knowing ahead of time, you know what, let me prepare myself to get involved is really key. And right now, that's where probably I would consider the biggest deficiency. And working with the GMSDC and other folks to say, hey, where are the opportunities? How do I get engaged? Getting certified so that your business is qualified to actually go in and do work, that your paperwork is proper, and that the industry and really that these major corporations like Disney, Fox, Sony, Universal, you can represent yourself appropriately, as well as the benefit of being at the table. I think that's key.
See, and many of those organizations are corporate members of our organization, so mm-hmm. we're going to leverage those corporate relationships. So that's that's an opportunity as well. But I also want to go ahead, and joining us is Rashida Winfrey. Rashida, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing really well, Stacey.
I'm glad you're joining us. We've been having a dialogue about this exciting film and entertainment industry, and we talked a little bit about Bronze Lens, which was last week, which was phenomenal. I tell you, Kathleen and Roger Bob have done an awesome job in pulling that together, and it was incredible last week. And so we launched into a discussion about the 12 new studios in the metro area and all the opportunities. And so take a minute from your perspective and talk about the growth in the film and entertainment industry, not just in Atlanta, but throughout the state.
So from my perspective, I heard a little bit on Terrell's comments, and just generally, I think this is a phenomenal time to be in the state of Georgia. So, you know, some people would say, well, the industry's been here for a while, it's too late to kind of get in on the ground floor, but I'd say the opportunity still exists to be first, second floor. The opportunities continue to grow with the 12 studios, you know, to our earlier conversation or points, you know, it's not just opportunities in front of the camera. There's so many opportunities behind the camera and even behind the camera. So
right.
those you know, professional services that support the industry as a whole. I mean, when you talk about 12 different studios, I mean, you're talking about not just those opportunities even in entertainment, but how about those companies that support the facilities, support, you know, all of those things.
You know what, there is a multiplier, is what you're saying. There's
exactly.
a multiplier here that we haven't even considered that impact. That's that $3 billion that
exactly.
we talked about for the state of Georgia, that multiplier there.
Right, right. And don't miss out. I think what Rashida is saying is important, that you know, our ability to communicate to folks, especially small businesses, get out in front. Do not let this industry pick up weight, pick up speed, because what's happening right now, other companies from New York, other individuals and consultants from Los Angeles, they are migrating here because they know the work is here.
Okay, so what's happening, the companies are building the studios. And one of the things I want to talk about with both of you is the talent pool,
mm-hmm.
the talent pool that we have here. And what are we doing as a state? Because I've heard Clayton is starting a program. I've heard Atlanta Tech, you know, I sit on the board of Atlanta Tech. They're doing some things. I've heard Chris Clark over the Georgia Chamber. He's part of a task force that's set by the governor. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about the talent pool. But so people are coming from outside of the state in to get these opportunities. So let's talk about that. What's going on? We don't have what they need here. Why is that? We're the great state of Georgia.
Yeah, but I think what Terrell spoke about is experience. And I was in a conversation recently where, not to take anything away from those phenomenal programs that are being created, but a lot of the people that are an opportunity to actually hire are saying, a certificate, the education piece, that's great, but what have you done? Can you really do it?
Have
What's
you done the work?
Experience that
have
you
have? Done the work?
Yeah. And Rashida, what would be good if you just let our listeners know a little bit about your background? Because coming from a place that you sit, you get to see this firsthand. Being a longtime resident of the city of Atlanta from here, talk a little bit about your background and how it's viewed from where you sit.
So that's an interesting perspective. I never thought about me being a native and how that kind of plays into it.
Mm-hmm.
So let me think about that for a moment. So I guess from my perspective, my background is financial services. So I've been in the financial services industry for more than 15 years. For a number of that period of time, I've worked with people in the entertainment space more on the financial side. So that's where I come in. So when you talk about all of the other industries outside of just behind the camera, what I'll call behind the camera, is that's an example of kind of my space. The interesting thing that you asked about kind of how I see it as being a native is, you know, for me, it's been very interesting to see the progression of what, you know, we used to call kind of the Hollywood of the South.
Yes.
But, you know, when people used to speak of that, they really were beginning to kind of talk about it from a music perspective.
Right.
And so, you know, being from Atlanta, I can remember so many groups and when they made it kind of on the national scale, what that meant. And there are a number of people that took advantage of that movement on the music side that have forever a place in the industry and
mm-hmm.
have been able to create jobs, feed their families very, very, very well.
Right.
So at the same time, I now see this happening on the film and television side.
And that's ironic because, Terrell, you kind of started out in that industry some time ago, many moons ago, we'll say, right?
Many moons ago. Interesting enough, we actually did. My business partner and I, Nick Nelson, we started off in music, actually with internet radio. We were pretty big in that space for quite a few years, cut a deal with XM Satellite Radio, a big online broadcaster. We made the transition in 2005. To film.
Okay.
And it was so early that, you know, we were all making all kind of funny mistakes trying to figure this thing out. But it was real key and it was clear that there was an opportunity here.
Okay.
The question was, how can we take advantage of that opportunity going forward? I think the great thing is we've been able to multiply that over and over and over again.
Sure.
And that's where, as Rashida said, with folks coming now into the market and they're saying, hey, if I want to get exposed to this industry, you got to get the experience.
No, the best part about what you just said, both of you all said, is this, is that you started out as babies in this industry, coming from the music industry and now into film, and you're from here. And so when you own that, you know how it should look. Mm-hmm. You know where all the stakeholders are. You know how where the Stacey Keys of the world are. You know the importance of being certified, the importance of having access to capital. And I think for us, it's huge. At the SBA, we backed nearly $970 million in loans to small business last fiscal year, which was huge. Specifically, Stacey had mentioned in Clayton State, we have a specific area for the Small Business Development Center to help folks in the film and television industry.
Right. And yes. I think that's the kicker. I mean, even with the SBA and even other organizations, the recognition of the industry is now here.
Sure.
Now, that took a minute. Because at first, you know, people would hear about what Tyler was doing, and
it was really all about Tyler.
But Tyler, when he was at Krog Street, he had tremendous struggle trying to get his studio off the ground, which is why they kind of had to move to another location, and over by Greenbrier. And, you know, when we worked, even when Liquid Soul was going, and, you know, we worked with some of our studio partners like Rainforest, they had trouble finding the right folks, the right cast members. I was recently in a class with a good friend, Diane Ashworth, who's also been in the industry for quite some time. She's a line producer. And we talked about how, folks weren't being taught all the essence and the skills. And so we used these projects, these early projects, as our training ground. But now we have the ability to give back and create opportunities. Tyler, Roger Bob, other folks like that have given more back. Will Packer have hired more culturally diverse individuals across the city and provided them with a level of experience that qualifies them now to be on a Ride Along 2 or a Fast and the Furious 7. And that's what really matters. Now, the kicker is, how can we bring more?
Yes.
Right.
Sure.
And so that's a very interesting point as I even think about my career or my exposure. A lot of it has been through people that were willing to take a chance or willing to give back. You know, mentioned Will in my work, that I've done with him. I mean, honestly, sometimes he was training me as I went, even though I was providing a service to him. He felt strong enough about developing talent that he was okay with taking that chance and giving that opportunity and kind of teaching as we went, which is rare. Yeah. So
if I could transition a little bit and talk about the fact that, you know, within our education system, and you talked about Clayton State.
Yep, Clayton.
You talked about Atlanta Tech.
Yep.
It is so critical, even with our HBCUs here, that we now look at the curriculum and we really start talking to students around getting prepared. And quite frankly, I love talking
the new opportunities.
Yes.
The new opportunities.
I even like going even lower into the high schools. Yeah. See, here's one of the things that I talk to students about quite a bit. There's so many industry spaces, and within this industry, there's a lot of different opportunities. But unless we're bringing up executives, and unless we're talking to them about being the decision maker, it makes it tough for us to break through. Mm-hmm. So the more opportunities that I have, yeah, the more opportunities that we have to talk to our college students now that are coming out to make career decisions, helping them understand that, you know, you can be an executive here as well as at Coke.
In this industry.
That I think now that allows us to broker and create a wider space for people to come through. And what I'm looking for is pipeline.
Yeah.
Sure. Let's widen the pipeline, give people more lanes so that, because what I hear usually is we just don't know where to go. We don't know where the opportunity really is.
And that's what everybody says. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get there. I need a roadmap.
Exactly.
And so.
But then on the other side, you have people saying, the talent's not here. We right. have that, to import exactly it.
That's exactly correct.
And,
we have to import it.
But that happened similarly in corporate environments years and years ago before people broke through. Companies were saying we can't find talent other than the easily identifiable talent. And so it took time for that talent that wasn't as easily identified to be able to say,
I'm here.
We have the skill set. We're ready. Yeah. And those two things had to come together.
Terrell, you made a good point even talking about the talent that's here. Stacey, and we know being in Atlanta for as long as we've been here, going over 25 plus years, that you have a pool of talent right at the AUC Center. Mm-hmm. I think many moons ago, Rashid and I were in college together right across the street from each other. Mm-hmm. And you figure the talent's here. And so when that talent comes to Atlanta and you want to keep that talent in Atlanta instead of going to L.A. or New York, what have you, because that was the trend back then. But now the trend, Stacey, is people want to stay here because they now know where to go. They know the Terrell Whitleys of the world. They know the Rashida Winfrey's. They know everyone who's involved in this new industry to us. And so I think it's important that people and the listeners realize that you are some of the folks who they're looking up to say, okay, what next and how to get there.
Well, and what I would look for is also for them to take further initiative. Mm-hmm. So perfect example, VH1, as a matter of fact, one of our clients just aired a premiere last night for Drumline, a new mm-hmm. beat. It was shot here in Atlanta. Great film, shot in Atlanta, leveraged a lot of students. It was on the campus. They shot on campuses where students could get involved. But I remember some years ago on my campus at Florida A&M University, a group of people got together and they shot their own film. Mm. A friend of mine, Rob Hardy, decided, hey, I'm going to find some money and make it happen right here where I am. Mm-hmm. So what I would say to a lot of these students is stop waiting for the opportunity to knock on your door. Mm-hmm. Go bust some doors down.
Sure.
Go get a camera. The threshold of entry has lowered tremendously. You can shoot a full feature film on a bunch of iPhones.
Yeah.
With enough interest. I mean, this is high def.
Yeah.
So with enough ingenuity, you can make that happen. Mm-hmm. There's enough editing software. So make your short. Go ahead and if you can do a webisode, mm-hmm. whatever it takes to create some content, and then whether it's through YouTube, but if the key is I'm creating my experience. I'm not waiting for someone to knock on my door and give me the opportunity.
Right.
When I walk through the door, I can say, you know what? I've done an 8-part series webisode that I was the producer for, or I was the actor, or I was the grip.
You were
and you can
involved
use that.
In some kind of way.
Right.
Stacey, last time I actually saw that was, I'm going to say, not say when it was, but when my friends were involved in the shooting of the movie School Days.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons why I said, I'm going to Morehouse.
Right.
When I saw that. And I came and I actually had some friends, fraternity brothers, who were actually in that film. And so we haven't seen this since then.
No. And I'm waiting for some students to say, look, I have the next different world. Mm-hmm. Bring that up. I'm ready to see it.
Right.
Another world.
Indeed. Different. Yeah. But and don't let it be us having to come and pitch you the idea. Mm-hmm. No, just go ahead and do it, and then bring it to the table. We'll find a network. There's more than enough cable networks. There's networks here. There's Aspire TV, which is here. Bounce Television is here. You still have Turner and CNN. You have Up TV here. So there's opportunity right here, and they're looking for content too. But they're also looking for the creatives that have that idea, but also the ingenuity to go out and say, "Let's make it happen."
All right.
And what they did at the Bronze Lens Festival last week, they did show some of those new creative kinds of movies. Did they not?
Absolutely.
See, that's like an introduction to kind of an audience to introduce some new things.
It is.
That's a platform for that.
And that's where, having Bronze Lens Film Festival, and other platforms like that here in our city matters.
Film Festival.
Exactly. Yep. And our kicker is making sure we take advantage of it. The thing that pleased my heart was the attendance this year. I saw folks really coming out. I had a session on strategic marketing. Room was a good audience, but very engaged. And my point, what I told them in that class, you will leave this session with more information, with more specific, practical, actionable information than ever. Because you're going to be talking to experts that do it day in and day out.
So let me ask this question, because I did see there were a lot of sessions held. Where do they go? See, I didn't make it to the Bronze Lens. There's lots of information. Where do they go? Where is this information at? I need to find out. I didn't make it, and I'm a budding. I want to be behind the scenes. I want to be a grip and grind, and I need to get into that business. What do I do?
Well, number one, I would tell folks, get connected, go on their website, register, get the emails. A lot of the content.
Do I get the book? You know, the infamous book? You know that book?
The Oz?
Yeah, the Oz book.
Yeah, it's a handbook that allows you some information. It's called the Source Book.
The Source Book
is actually a great reference. It gives you, you know, the information of, okay, if I want to do something, I want to get started, you know, and I need a truck or I need this, I need cameras, at least I have a place to go to say I can resource against it to figure out where to go. But I also like when we have sessions like Bronze Lens where you have people that give you practical. I mean, in my session, literally a filmmaker walked up, said, my movie's out there, I don't know what to do. I gave her a 5-step. I said, here's step 1, step 2, step 3, step
That's
4, step 5.
That's it right yeah. there. That's yeah. it right there.
Yeah.
What do I do? I don't know what to do. I got it in hand. It's ready to go, I think.
Right.
Can somebody set, you know, me with some popcorn and watch it? So tell me, what do I have on my hands?
Exactly. And you're going to need some capital with that, going back to this point, Rashida, because $36 million last year from us went to the film and music industry. But talk a little bit about that, because you're going to need some access.
You're going to need some money.
You need
Absolutely.
Some money, right,
Terrell? You're going to need
so
some money.
How do they make that transition over, Rashida, and talk about getting the finance?
So the most of the films that are being in television that are being produced here are already being produced by production companies, and those production companies,
that means the money's already coming with
money's
them.
Money's pretty much already there.
Okay.
So for those that have you know, films that they want to kind of still put out independently, mm-hmm. you know, I would say definitely small business loans are always an opportunity. Personal.
What about investors or crowdfunding or some
yeah.
of those options?
So personal lines of credit, if you're still talking about kind of on the banking side.
Okay.
And then other avenues for investors really are, you know, private investors, friends, family, like any way that you can pull that money together. And then crowdfunding. Who was it? Was it Spike Lee that just recently? I mean, of course, he's Spike Lee. He
yeah.
has the name behind it.
He did.
But he was able to fund his last project through crowdfunding.
He sure did.
And I've heard of a number of other sites that are kind of popping up that allow people to be able to do projects in a similar manner.
There are a few banks. There's a few banks here that are actively engaged. I know Charles Johnson over at SunTrust. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of entertainment and sports, and I see him quite a bit. We pass each other in airports, usually going between here, Los Angeles, and New York. I've met with Wells Fargo Private Banking. Quite frankly, there's some education that needs to be done, and this is the same
thing on their end.
This is the same thing that happened
on the banking
even with,
end.
Yeah, even with our business, you know, getting the recognition of the industry was key. But when I met with private banks, I met with Wells Fargo recently. It was just information. They wanted to understand, okay, what is this all about, and how can
this industry?
How can we present this to our clients before they come and ask us?
Mm-hmm.
And so
I like that proactive approach, though.
Right, and that's where I'm telling
Again,
them I am
recognizing the opportunity and the landscape and changes.
Exactly. And so even the investors here in Atlanta, we have very much so more traditional based investing. These are institutional level investors, even private investing. And I've gone to a number of different investing seminars where I've pitched films, or I've been out with Ruben Cannon, and we've gone in front of a lot of investors. We learn quickly.
How
they
do you pitch? That's another thing. As we're wrapping up, how do you pitch? How does someone learn how to go to a pitch for the funding?
Yeah. Pitch quick.
And well.
Yeah, and so
But I'll tell you, it is an opportunity, because quite frankly, here they don't know how to pitch a show.
Yeah.
See,
they don't.
Yeah.
There's an opportunity there.
Yeah. Now there is a pitch summit. Ty Johnson, who's a good friend, she's a FAMU rattler. She has a pitch summit, but I think she's moving it to the island. She's down there in the island somewhere. But I'm asking her to keep something here in Atlanta.
But you know
in Georgia.
I see a pitch summit done by Liquid Soul and Rashida Winfrey, but that's just me. That's just my. I'm thinking that's going to be a pitch.
Well,
summit.
It's in the atmosphere. I'm going to call it down, and I'm going to snatch
pull it.
It
on down.
Claim
let's
it.
Move wrap it. Okay, we've got 1 minute and wrap it up. What parting words would you give for our listeners? Because I see a part two for this. Because we can continue this dialogue around that a lot of things.
So, my parting words would actually be taken from something that Terrell said, and that's just proactive. Don't ever sit and wait for it, whether it's this industry, any industry. That's what I would say to anyone wanting to do something different. Never sit and wait for it.
Great.
As my bishop would say, you have not because you ask not. Mm-hmm. If you know this industry is here, ask for it. Go after the opportunity. Don't hesitate. Don't be scared. Fear is the trick of the enemy. Go after your dreams in this space and make it happen.
Okay. Heard it first.
Cassius, thanks you again for being with us today. As always, it's a pleasure.
Of course.
And to our listeners, thanks again for joining us with Let's Talk Small Business. We'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us. Take care.